This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I guess the coffee hadn't made it all the way to my vocal cords yet. So thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about love and how it permeates our everyday life. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. But first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks of Just Concrete. All of the three businesses that we talk about, Treasure Your Landscape, Jits Concrete, and Wyrick Air, they are all out in the elements dealing with things that need to be done. And so I want to encourage you to pray for them and things like that. Concrete work is hard when the temperature is pleasant. It's even more challenging when the heat is intense, like it is in Florida in July and August, and basically 8 or 9 of the months that we have during the course of the year. But Jits Concrete is very good at what they do. They have a great work ethic. They have expertise of everything from the supply chain to the codes to the standards to the tools that are needed. They've got decades and decades of experience. And they have a great work ethic. They get in, get the job done, and then they get out of the way so that you can move forward with your project. If you've got a concrete job that is coming up, they may be a great resource for you. If so, their phone number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And we thank them for believing in the Refresh Radio program and helping to get the Word of God throughout beautiful Brevard County, Florida. So today we're going back to Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. I'm going to begin reading verses 9 through 13. And it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." And so we've talked about loving without hypocrisy. We've talked about, putting distance between ourselves and that which is evil, and then at the same time clinging to what is good. And we have also addressed that we are to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor, giving preference to one another. And, how contradictory that is to the mindset of the world, where it says, look, I come first. Anything after that is what you get. So we need to actually have a reverse mindset to that of the world and say, you know what, I'm not just interested in what is best for me. I'm interested in what is best for those around me. And that means that we treat each other with godliness, with affection, and we recognize the giftings of God, so that we can esteem them more highly than others do. We're not supposed to esteem ourselves more highly than we ought. We need to recognize how much we need one another. This brings us to verse number 11. And verse number 11 begins a little bit of a different shift. I mean, we are talking about love in verses 9 and 10, but verse number 11 starts talking about the intensity that is supposed to permeate every area of our life. So this is what the first clause says. It says, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. I don't remember who it was that I was having a conversation with, but I've had the conversation with many people where they bring it up, and the way that they phrase it is something like this, that there are many people who want a job, but they don't want to do the work. They're not passionate about what they do. They're excited about the paycheck, but they are not excited about what they do. They don't give attention to detail. They put forth minimal effort instead of maximal effort. I read a book years ago. It was written by a guy who was a CEO. He was involved in ministry to some degree. I don't remember exactly what his ministry was about. But he said that his first job was cleaning toilets. And he said that he went out to make sure that the job that he did in cleaning the toilets was the best job that could be done. And so instead of just going in and rushing around and trying to get it done as quick as possible, and if you got everything, you got everything. If you didn't get everything, you just missed something. He said he would go in there, and, you know, a lot of restrooms have stalls, and he said, so I would shut the stall door, and I would sit there, and I would look, and he examined all the walls, he examined the corners, he examined, everything, and he looked to see if there were any spots that were being neglected as he was, you know, doing his job. He was looking for things that others might not see. He was being very diligent about his job. The Bible says that if we do our job with excellence, that we will not continue to serve in obscurity, but instead you will be elevated and you will serve before kings. Whatever your job is, if it is, you know, like we talked about with Jets Concrete, pouring concrete, or if it's working on air conditioners, or if it is doing landscape, or whether or not it's pastoring a church or working retail, you do it to the glory of God. So when I was growing up, I remember watching a video. They were interviewing a player from the team that I rooted for. And he said, I just want to give all the glory to God. And someone said, does God really care if you win a football game or not? And they were, you know, I remember having this conversation in my head at that exact point in time, because God's concern is not about whether or not you win the football game. God's concern is this: have you done everything that you do to the glory of God? And if so, then we're going to be very diligent about it. And so while they were undermining and demeaning this guy for what he said, I was celebrating what he said, not because he was on my team, the team that I rooted for, but instead just because that meant when he went to practice, he practiced to the glory of God. When he was studying game tape, he studied game tape to the glory of God. When he was handling his nutrition, he did it to the glory of God. And so you and I, we cannot just be half-hearted in our efforts for the things that we do. If we believe that God has given us the skill set that we have, that he has placed us where he wants us for his strategic purpose, then we need to do it to the glory of God. We need to fulfill our responsibilities. In the book of Daniel, it talks about that there was a king on the throne who decided that while he was throwing a feast, that he was going to bring out all of the articles of gold that had been carried off to Babylon from the temple, and he used those in his celebration of the triumph of his gods over the gods of other nations. And all of a sudden, there was a hand that started writing things on the wall, and there was no body to go with the hand. It was the hand of God. That kind of brought the celebrating to an abrupt halt. No one could interpret what was being written. And the king was flustered. He didn't know what to do. And it was told to him, don't panic. There is a man in your kingdom by the name of Daniel who has a spirit of excellence. Call for him. He will be able to tell you what the hand has written. And he said, hey, if you do this, up to half the kingdom will be given to you. And he said, keep it. This is what it means. You've been weighing the scales. You've been weighing the balances, and you have come up wanting, and your kingdom's going to be given to the Medes and the Persians. And they rewarded Daniel anyway, and he went on and served not only for that night. The kingdom was overthrown that night. He went on and served Cyrus, and he served Darius, and became a trusted advisor. Because if you are really, really good at serving to the glory of God, you will be a valued person wherever you go. Now, I will tell you this. I had a job one time. I was brought in to teach in a Christian school. I was an associate pastor, so I did some preaching as well. We were very young, and I did everything exactly the way that I was told to do. And the pastor told me that, and this pastor is still a dear friend of mine to this day. And there was no income during the summertime. I only got paid, and it was minimal. It, you know, if you were talking about teachers who make really good money back then, listen, we made horrible, horrible money back in those days. Made the equivalent of about, let's see, between my wife and I think that year we made about $13,000. And that was during a really booming economy too, by the way. For a lot of people in that area, ministry is not about the money. It's about serving to the glory of God. And so if you see pastors that are out there and maybe there's plenty of pastors that are making headlines for all of the wrong reasons, please understand that there's probably, 1,000 or 10,000 ministers who still have the heart for God, who still want to serve to the glory of God, that are doing things the way that they're supposed to be done. They just may not be getting the notoriety from the world that other people are receiving. And they may not, you know, be drugged through the mud. You know, bad examples tend to get a lot more attention from the world because they want to undermine the gospel. So let me go back to my story. I did everything exactly the way I was told. The pastor, when the following school year came and we were getting ready to begin, he said, "Bob, over the summer, you have proven that you are going to make sure that your family is fed. You have proven that whatever I asked you to do, you could do. You did it exactly the way that I wanted. You've served with excellence, but I've got other people who do not serve that same way, and I've got to make sure that I continue to provide for them. And so we're not going to bring you back into the school." And that sounds like a setback. It was. And I said, "Well, you know, I want you to know I disagree with your decision, and I'm called to the ministry. So if you make that cutback, please understand I'm going to have to, I may end up someplace else." And I said, "I don't want that to sound like an ultimatum." And he said, "Well, it is an ultimatum." But they began to look for ways to bring us back. But what neither one of us realized at that point in time was the job that I ended up, or the promotion I ended up getting at work because of that, God was using to position me to where I would come to Merritt Island, Florida, or come to Brevard County, Florida, and eventually end up at Merritt Assembly of God. Serve with excellence. If everybody else is not showing any effort, put forth the effort. Do it to the glory of God. In other words, don't be lagging in diligence. So lagging means to don't be falling behind, don't be holding back, don't be causing trouble. You've got to shift to where you're driven from internal motivation, not external motivation. And so diligence there, where it says not lagging in diligence, it means eager, diligent, in a hurry. So if you have the mindset, "Man, I am just so glad to be here." You know, several times a year, we're now away for church on Sunday. Every time I go away, I'm always grateful to be able to get back to Merritt Assembly of God because we love worshiping with those people. It's not because I'm the pastor, because there's a lot of times that, you know, sitting and being fed is a tremendous blessing. But do what you do. Be diligent about it. Pay attention to the details. Do it to the glory of God. Don't be lazy. Don't fall behind. Don't hold back. And certainly don't cause trouble. That's all of what that is, that phrase, not lagging in diligence, means. The next phrase says, be fervent in spirit. Be enthusiastic. The word fervent there means enthusiastic. It means excited. You know, I tend to think of, you know, being passionate. When I think of heat, I think of fervent heat. So I want to be hot. I want to, you know, and when temperatures rise, molecules begin to move with greater speed. And so I don't want to be one whose flame is going out. I want to be one who remembers what it was like when we first fell in love with Jesus and has not lost the first love, has kept the main thing, and say, you know what? I want to be on fire for God. I want the word of God to be like fire shut up in my bones so that I can't keep it in. And so this fervency is not something that we're supposed to work up from an intellectual basis, but instead it is something that is supposed to take place because it's in our spirit. I'm not having to intellectually manufacture it. It's just what God has placed inside of us. And so, you know, in John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well that God was looking for people who would worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it needs to come. The human creation is made up of body, of soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and it is the spirit. We are a triune being, if you will. We're body, soul, and spirit. So a lot of times it is labeled, if you're very enthusiastic, you're labeled emotional. Well, here's the thing. God created our emotions. And everybody knows that our negative, ungodly emotions have been exhibited way more than what we had care for. We need to make sure that our godly emotions are used to glorify God the way that they should be. So make sure that you are fervent in spirit. That means that, what comes to mind is this. There was a king that was anointed to be the future. There was a guy who was anointed to be the future king of Israel by Elisha's servant. And everybody said, Jehu said, you know how that guy is. He's kind of crazy. They said, no. What did he tell you? And he said, well, he poured oil on my head and he said, you know, you're going to be the king of Israel. Immediately, those people began to take steps to make him king, like, as soon as possible. That wasn't the way that David did it. David waited for God to promote him. So anyway, Jehu begins this passionate, furious-paced journey to go and engage the king in battle, and that the king ends up getting killed. But the king said, hey, what's that chariot that I see that's coming? And they said, we don't know. We don't exactly know who it is, but the driving looks like it's the driving of Jehu. They couldn't identify who was in the chariot by sight, but they were able to identify him by the way he drove his chariot. I think there is a great, great lesson in there for the church. And that is, whatever you are doing today, God is watching. But there are also other people who are watching to see if you are fervent in spirit. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were talking about what they've learned in the ministry and how these people are much younger. And their observation is a historic observation, and it said the way that, you know, or from what I've observed, when people start losing their fervency and spirit, they start putting distance between themselves and the pastoral leadership. And it's like, yep, they do that. They do that. When you go to church, I mean, we're going to be in church tomorrow. There's a lot of things that I could probably make time for that I don't make time for because I want to do the best job that I could do in the Bible study. To be honest with you, when I came into the radio station this morning, when I first woke up, which was before the alarm clock, I was sleeping really well. I was making up for some less than adequate sleep last night or the night before, and was doing quite well. And the temptation is like, do you want to stay in bed? No, I need to get into the church so that I can get ready to do the radio program, because I'm passionate about bringing the Word of God to life in a relevant way so that it can get down into our spirit, so that the things that we do are not just things that we think about, but there's a drive on the inside of us that says this: I'm going to seize this day. I'm going to make the most of the opportunity of what God has given to me. I'm going to do it not because I have to, but because there's a fire shut up inside of me that wants to do this to the glory of God. So there was a business that I used to deal or talk to the owners. They didn't come to my church, and but we had a great relationship. They thought the world of me. I thought the world of them. And I called one of them one time, and they had this message on their answering machine: go out and make it a great day. Go out and make it a great day. And I thought, wow, that is a really thought-provoking challenge. Today, if you don't have anything that is driving you, I pray that you'll get into your prayer closet and say, God, I don't want to be lagging in diligence. I want to be in step with you. I want to be walking in the Spirit. I don't want to be falling behind. I don't want to be holding back. I don't want to be causing trouble. I want to do what I do to the glory of God. God, would you give me a spirit where I am enthusiastically serving? You know, I wonder what would happen if all of the employees showed up enthusiastic about their job. I wonder what it would what it would look like in church. Everybody that walked in the doors was says, hey, we are here. We are enthusiastic about worshiping God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are enthusiastic about hearing the Word of God and going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. That's a great challenge. I hope you will live that life with me today. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.